It started years ago. A love of rock and roll. Iron Maiden blasting from a Care Bears radio. She had that fire burning in her soul. She had to write about the rock and roll. Now she's talking about it on her podcast show.
You're listening to Rock Talk with Summer, a podcast where I have conversations with incredible people in the music industry, mostly female, and we talk music stuff. Everything from music news, album opinions, to issues affecting the music industry. While we have the word rock in the name, we strive to be diverse and cover a range of rock genres. In a bit, we have my conversation with Taylor and Kayla Smith of the band The Scars Heal in Time. Taylor is the drummer. Kayla is the vocalist and guitarist. These sisters formed the band when they were young, young, young. I was initially introduced to the band by a publicist friend and really like the energy of these girls. They have such a powerful feminine energy. But I went into this interview with no expectations, and some of the conversation that came out of it is really interesting. You're going to want to take a listen to this. So welcome to 2018 and another year of music. Thank you for coming along with me as I launched in 2017, and now we're in another year, and I'm excited to see what this year brings. 2017 saw the unfortunate death of some of our beloved musicians. We don't get through a year without this, one of them being my second favorite vocalist, Chris Cornell. That really hit hard too soon, and I have so many regrets about when I should have seen him in Soundgarden when I didn't. I had an opportunity right before his death that I could have seen him in concert, and did not. And I'm fortunate that I did see Soundgarden at Lollapalooza when I was younger, and it was an incredible experience and really solidified why I fell in love with that band and Chris. But I really wish I had seen him in later years too. We also lost Malcolm Young of AC/DC, Tom Petty, Chester Bennington, Chuck Berry, Greg Allman. There's a long list, and I'm not going to cover them all, but maybe a surprising one for me to mention is Little Peep. And the reason I mention this is because, strangely, a week before his death, I first heard of him when Pitchfork published an article about the resurgence of rap rock. And they talked about him being one of the main artists in that scene and leading that resurgence. So I had actually planned to talk about that on the podcast, but his death overshadowed that discussion a bit. I'm still really curious to see how his death affects that scene. What's interesting is his death seemed fairly widely discussed, but the response I heard most often was, "Who is Little Peep?" Yet now people know, and we'll see if it's a case of him becoming more or less popular after death, or that no one really cares that didn't before. I suspect the latter. But as someone constantly discovering new music and trying to open my mind, I had been listening to him fairly often, and I found an appreciation for some of his music. So I'll add him to the list of musicians we lost that I wish we wouldn't have, who could have made further contributions to music. Sadly, he also makes the list of musicians we lost who were lost in ways that feel really senseless. Suicide and drug addiction pulled away more than a few of the musicians over this past year. So starting off 2018 poorly, we just recently lost Cranberry singer Dolores O'Riordan. By the time this airs, I expect we may know more details about the reason for her death. At this time, it's unconfirmed, and the unfortunate speculation has started about her depression and a previous suicide attempt. The loss of Dolores is really pivotal from the perspective of the conversations I'm having about the role of females in the music industry. Because when I look back at that time in my life when alternative music was in its prime, the Cranberries were so widely played on the radio. She was one of the few female artists I remember hearing. They made a great impact in that scene, gaining some fame right along with Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, and Nirvana. So David Bowie passed in 2016, not 2017, but he left us with this last great gift of his music. Now there's a new documentary called David Bowie, The Last 5 Years. It's airing on HBO in January this month. It traces the singer's final chapter. It's really interesting to learn more about the production of his last album, Black Star. So many people didn't know how sick he was. Even the people around him didn't know how sick he was. And they even comment now that he seems so energetic, they had no idea. But Bowie's producer has shared some of the unheard demos, including the isolated vocals from Lazarus, where you can hear the breaths that Bowie takes between each line. He really fought to produce this artistic piece. Another artist that has continued to release music post-death and has even became more famous after his death is Jimi Hendrix. Lots of his music has been released over the years from his vaults. The most recent is Both Sides of the Sky, which is expected to release in March. Some of it is collaborations with other musicians or alternative takes of other Hendrix songs that we all know and love. So a few other things going on in the music industry. In November, Taylor Swift released her newest album. And every time she releases an album, she has taken her power and made it available how she wanted to. So this newest album that released in November, she did not release to the streaming services right away. And it actually sold 1.2 million copies in its first week. Most of those sales, of course, were coming from digital and physical stores. And even without streaming, it sold better than the rest of the Billboard 200 combined. So this decision comes because she knows she can make more money through album sales and digital downloads than she can from the royalties she gets from streaming services. I believe she's now released that album on Spotify and other streaming services, but not before she cashed in on those first week of sales. This is a smart woman. She's taken cues from other artists who either joined late into the streaming service game or have avoided it. This is a smart lady to watch. She's intelligent about the music business and making money. It's time to pay attention to her. Speaking of streaming services, Spotify has filed to go public in 2018. This could make them a legitimate player in the streaming market. But some of the discussion is also around what will this mean for music fans. So Spotify has already struck some licensing deals where they will allow artists to restrict new albums to paying subscribers only for the first 2 weeks after release. Be ready to pay for a subscription if you want access, basically. They also plan to have more products besides streaming music. In fact, they are expanding their podcast offerings. And if you already aren't listening there, you can listen to this podcast on Spotify now. They have plans to get into merch sales. They are going to offer more services to artists. Another idea that has been suggested is their own record label. Last year, they bought an online music studio, and they have started a program where they are identifying new artists, and this is going to potentially lead to signing such artists. Here are a few topics we've been talking about on our Facebook page. You can go there to see more about these stories and continue the discussion. One of the things is the predictions for the music world in 2018. Now, interestingly enough, one of those predictions is that the Me Too campaign will spread deeper into the music industry. I, too, agree this is going to become a more important and recognized issue in the music industry. This issue is part of what fuels this podcast, some of the experience I have seen and experienced myself. And I'm thrilled for us to start the discussion. I think that this is great. It's coming out in the entertainment industry in general, but the music industry has always felt really behind the times in terms of this issue. And the focus right now in the entertainment industry in general is going to bring more issues of abuse and abuse of power to light within the music industry as well. And before I started recording the podcast today, I just saw an article come out through Rolling Stone that is addressing what's going on in country music and what's happening there and the pressure that is being put on women to sexualize them and put them in positions that are really interesting. I think we're going to be talking more about this, I think. In fact, probably on the next podcast, we'll be talking more about some of that that has came out already. And this year is going to see more of it, I believe. Another thing we are talking about on Facebook is Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong calling for Donald Trump's impeachment. A repeated sentiment is that people wish he would just focus less on politics and more on music. Some saying his focus on such has directly affected the quality of Green Day's music. Now, this is an interesting issue because, yes, there is some annoyance when he uses his platform for political expression. Yet having a platform can be a great tool to ignite change. And we've talked about this before because this is kind of similar to when BET's Hip Hop Awards aired a video of The Storm, which is by Eminem, and it's an anti-Donald Trump freestyle that he performed. And on one hand, it seemed like a tool to sell his new record, you know, publicity. But on the other, it could be seen as a way for him to use his platform to bring attention and discussion to an issue. This can become the case with any musician where if they take their music in a certain way, it can be a political statement and help bring social change. And this is what Green Day has started to do somewhat, but it's a very fine line. Another thing that has been discussed lately is Bono talking about music being too feminine. Rock music is too feminine. One of the headlines I saw actually about this is Bono is sad. Men have no outlet for their anger now that they let women make music. I don't know if that's exactly what he was saying, but the sentiment that was expressed on Facebook was that U2 sucks ass, so there's that. Radiohead is suing Lana Del Rey for allegedly copying Creep, and I've seen some different comments about this, but on our Facebook, the consensus is that there are some similarities. But at what point can you say you own a basic four chord progression? So others have pointed out that this is Lena's signature style, but played with the same four chord progression. So if you would like to talk about any of those subjects that I mentioned or take a look at some of those articles and find out more about those discussions, you can find all of that on our Facebook at Rock Talk Podcasts. And now here's my interview with The Scars Heal in Time.
You are speaking with Taylor from Scars Heal in Time. How are you doing?
Good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. We're out on tour right now, so we're having the time of our lives, so we're stoked about it. But yeah, so how are you doing?
Good. So this is Taylor. Is Kayla going to be with you today as well, or just you?
Yeah, I've got Kayla actually right here right now. I'm about to put you on speaker. Alrighty, yeah, we got Kayla here for you. Hello.
Hello. Okay, well, one of my publicist friends, who you know, sent me info about your band, and I just got this vibe that it's two sisters, very primal rock and roll style, so I thought that was really cool. And my understanding is that you're pretty new on the scene, right?
Well, we've actually been a band for quite some time. Since we're sisters, we've been playing music together for like 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Been playing music together for a long time under the same band name because it has kind of a big meaning to us. So yeah, we've just been playing music together. But then this past year we started touring and we kind of took over our own pretty much like management and everything. And we've just kind of been, you know, our goal was to get on the road. So that's what we did. And ever since then, we've just been kind of living on the road and it's been a great time. So.
Cool. So tell me then about the beginnings of when you started playing, why you started playing, and then what's happened since then, even maybe what brought you to this decision to start touring.
Okay. So in 2010, Taylor and I started the band. I always did like open mics and stuff kind of before that. Like my dad and I would play, he was a guitar player, and I'd play guitar and sing at local open mics. And Taylor had always had like an interest in drums, and so then in 2010 is when we first like kind of formed the band, and we were just playing like those same places that we would do open mics at. We would like play our little first little shows, and yeah, it was really cool.
Well, how old were you then?
Taylor was 11 and I was 14.
Okay, yeah. keep going. That's awesome, but keep going.
Yeah, so we started the band as, yeah, we were 11 and 14, and we just started pretty much playing all the time. And whenever we started the band, we didn't really think, like, we were going to go do shows all the time, we're going to go on tour, we're going to do this. We just kind of wanted to play music, you know? So, you know, we just played an open mic, and people just, like, really started to, like, really enjoy it. They were like, man, you guys are good. Like, you guys should start, you know, you guys should start playing shows. And we just got, like, show offers, and then, like, once we started playing shows, we just, like, really fell in love with it and started playing all the time. And, like, we've evolved a lot as a band since then. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's just been, like, a crazy roller coaster of, like, all kinds of different changes. And it's just been insane ever since then, so.
Well, and so your dad is a musician, apparently. So I'm sure he influenced you. And then you start playing these open mics. Are you doing cover songs or did you have original material at some point?
Originally we did, we learned like three covers for open mics, and we just played them, and then, but Kayla was writing original music at that time, So then she was kind of doing her own thing since she was quite younger. She was doing her own thing since she was about, like, I want to say probably like 12-ish. Yeah, since she was like 12. And then, but yeah, her dad actually was like the reason why she picked up the guitar in the first place. He was like super, super like mega music fan. Like he was like in a Misfits cover band. He was like super punk. Like he was the coolest guy ever. He actually was diagnosed with cancer and ended up passing away a couple years later. But it was super devastating, obviously. And it's just, I don't know. It was just really tough to do this after that, you know, because since we all started it together, it was really hard. But
when did he pass? How long has that been?
It was 2012 whenever he passed. So pretty much like right after he passed, we actually got to open up for the Misfits. So that was really cool since that was his favorite band. He's literally like from like as early as I can remember, he was always jamming Misfits on his guitar, you know, like he just, yeah. So it's just like stuff like that. That's just like, it just keeps us like super excited to do this kind of stuff, you know, like it's just cool. Like to see like stuff like that he would have been really excited about just like come out and like what we can do now, you know? And yeah, I don't know. We just have a great time with it. And then on top of, you know, just being able to like put out our own music and be really excited about it and see people like light up about like stuff that we've written. And then, you know, we get to just have like really cool experiences all the time. And yeah, it's just been amazing.
Yeah. I love hearing about your dad because it makes me think of this story that once a psychic told me about how she doesn't believe there's reincarnation, but her belief is that it's similar to an oak tree. So like there's this oak tree that is comprised of everything, you know, and then it drops down the seeds and the seeds then sprout out another tree. And they're still a part of that major tree, you know, the first one. And so that makes me like, there's similarities there for me when I think of the story of how your dad influenced you. And then you are these small oak trees that are rising up because of him.
Oh, that is so cool. Oh my gosh. I love that. I love that. Oh my gosh. That's awesome. Yeah, no, like I totally see what you're saying with stuff like that. Like anytime like my mom hears one of our songs or whatever, like a new song, she's like, oh my God, I just see so much of, you know, your dad and you or whatever. And it's just, I don't know. But yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying with that. It's cool to see that kind of stuff like live on, you know?
That's beautiful. And I mean, was most of your music influence was from him, or do you have other family members that are musicians, or where did all your music influences come from?
Pretty much just my dad. The rest of my family doesn't do a whole lot of music, but yeah, our dad was just pretty much the one. My mom plays a little bit of bass, but he kind of influenced her to do that as well. But he was just constantly playing guitar, and you know, it's kind of hard to not fall into that whenever, you know, a major influence is always a part of that, you know. So
So one of the things that we talk a lot about on this podcast is, I mean, it's a, you know, it's supposed to be empowering to females in the music industry, so we do bring in the fact that the music industry is a man's world and it's a little bit harder for a female to navigate. So being two females, pretty new on the national scene, what has your experience been like personally?
Personally, we actually haven't had much issue. I mean, I think the biggest thing is like whenever we walk into a venue, people don't like expect much, I think, or people will like kind of treat you like, oh, okay, like, you know, like you can put your stuff over here and you can do it this way. But I feel like after we're done playing, like, we usually don't have any problems with anyone treating us any different or anything like that. Besides, like, obviously, some people being a little bit too, like, creepy, I would say. You know, like, everyone's got those stories. Like, any female-fronted band has a story of, like guys who just, like, go crazy, you know? Like, that obviously happens all the time. So I don't think other guy bands really have to deal with that stuff from guys. I mean, I'm sure girls get a little bit crazy too. I mean, you know, I mean, there's some stories that we've heard from our friends that of girls just like going way over the top as well. So I think the problem, there's problems on either side. But yeah, I mean, being two females in a band hasn't held us back, I would say. But it's definitely presented different opportunities for different stuff. Like the other day, we played this really awesome female fronted showcase, and it was just full of awesome female fronted bands. And you know, a lot of people have problems with stuff like that, but I think it's kind of cool to get, you know, a group full of powerful female fronted bands together and kind of like make the show about that. I think it's super cool. As long as you're not obviously you can use it for whatever purpose you want, whether it's to sell more tickets or whatever. But I think the idea of it, if it's genuine, I think it's pretty cool. So
yeah,
but we enjoy it.
I love that too. When I've seen some of those tours that are all about it being a bunch of females and presenting it that way. Unfortunately, I think it's Revolver that does the female tour that I always get a little irritated about, because it's like the hottest chicks in rock type of thing. You know, the way they, you know, it's more objectifying than actually promoting that, hey, these are really awesome female musicians versus they're just really hot female musicians. You know, it's like the language needs to be a little bit different there.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, I totally understand. That's kind of what I was saying, genuine, it being about girl power or whatever, you know, that's I'm totally cool with that. That's awesome. You know, I think there should be more of that. You know, I mean, there's female fronted bands who will only take out other female fronted bands to help them out because they don't get as many chances as, you know, as just a regular band with just full of guys, you know. So, but yeah, as long as it's genuine and cool, I'm super cool with people pushing, you know, female fronted, whatever. But yeah, I get if you're just check out these hot chicks going here, you know, it's come on, let's keep it about the music. That's what we're doing. You know, usually whenever people talk about the band or talk about the band, they're not hot female fronted band does this. And, you know, we try not to push anything like that. I don't know. There's some bands who, or I'm not trying to put anybody down who does whatever, but yeah, just try not to objectify yourself, you know, and make it to where that's the focus.
Yeah, absolutely. So your newest song is In Your Flame, correct? That's
yes,
the one,
ma'am,
that just came out on Halloween, I think. Our music video came out for it on Halloween, I guess. So that song, from what I've read about it, is about being with somebody who brings out the worst in you. And it's the video is pretty intense, pretty hardcore. Tell me a little bit more about that video, how that came about, even that song, how that came about, just what influenced that and more about what the song is about.
So the song's pretty much just about, you know, being with someone who, I mean, the song pretty much speaks about it itself. Being with someone who brings out the absolute worst in you, and you kind of don't really recognize yourself after a while, you know. It's just I think everyone's kind of been in that kind of situation, whether it's relationship, friendship, whatever it is. Everyone has had someone pull them down. So that song's pretty much about that. And then the video, we wanted to spin that with the video. So our video director, John Volpine, is super crazy guy. He's literally one of my favorite people in the world, because of how artistic he is, and his vision for stuff. And so our idea was originally I came up with the concept, and we kind of talked about it a little bit, and and I told him about it, and he was he's so down, because he's super big into horror movies and stuff, and he shoots a lot of horror stuff, so he loved the idea, so he kind of ran with it, and we came up pretty much as we were shooting it. We came up with the with how it was going to happen, with the murder and everything. And yeah, it was just a super fun time. It was just all shot with our best friends. Like the girl in the video is the girl who does Kayla's hair, Harley. She's amazing. She never acted a day in her life, and you would never be able to tell that in the video, because she's actually been through a really similar situation in real life. So it was super real for her, and she just absolutely killed it. And then the guy in the video is another one of our really good friends. He's a model out of Houston. His name's JB Zay, and he killed it as well. He just showed up just to help us out, and he was cool to get murdered on camera. So we were all right, let's go. And it was awesome. So we're super stoked on the video, and it's actually doing really well on YouTube. So that's like amazing for us. Like, we've never had anything happen like that before. So we're super excited about it.
Well, and so you mentioned John Volpine, who has worked with some other big names like Saliva, Drowning Pool, Backstreet Boys. How did you get hooked up with him?
I actually did something that I should not have done. And I was looking for someone to do our video, and I saw that he had a rep, and I knew that if I talked to her, I probably would not be able to get him. Or actually, I'm going to take it back a little bit further. So I made an ad on Craigslist. And this is actually a really interesting story about how this actually happened. I made an ad on Craigslist, and someone sent me a video, and it was a link to his video, and it was not him, and they said that it was their video. Said, I directed this video, you know, check it out, here you go. And it was the Drowning Pool video. And, man, that's really awesome, but, like, that doesn't say your name on there. So I looked up the name on there, John Volpine, and I ended up just finding him on Facebook. And I went just around his rep, and I just messaged him, like, and I was like, dude, like, I love your work. I would love to work with you. Like, check out my band. I know you're probably not going to respond, whatever. If you get a chance, like, we would love to work with you. Because, like, your stuff is literally, like, insane. And because I had seen a lot of his work before as well. Like, it's crazy. Like, the videos that he produces, like, I've been watching for a long time. And so he got back to me, and he was just super, super cool. And, like, literally, like, he just wanted to know all kinds of ideas. He was so ready. And he was just, like, wanted to help. And then after a while, we became, like, really, really close friends. And he's, like, anytime I have anything to say, like, I'm always, like, ready to text him. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to tell him about it. So he's texting me random stuff about, like, whatever's going on in his video shoots or whatever's happening and wherever he's flying. And, you know, so he's just, like, I don't know. He just became, like, really close friends. And so he's taught us a lot about, like his side of things and, like, kind of, like, the world that he works in, which is obviously a little further past than where we're at right now. So it's kind of cool to see, like, into what he deals with, like, these, like, major commercials and stuff like that. Like, it's, like, this whole other world. And it's just, like, super cool to see kind of what it's like on that side of it, you know, because I don't know, people don't really get to see what they have going on, I don't know, in preparation for stuff like that you see everywhere, you know. So yeah, it's just been super rad, and we've had a great time. And and now, you know, every time we have a song coming out, we're shooting anything, and he's like, all right, when's the video, you know. It's just awesome. So, but yeah, working with them is, like, just literally amazing. Like, I was telling somebody the other day, like, just watching him, just, like, watching someone, like, I don't know, like, just watching, like, a complete artist work. Like, he just goes into full, like, a different person. Like, he picks up the camera, and he just starts, like, shaking like crazy, and he just, like, makes, like, these crazy faces, and he's like, no, you gotta, like, do it this way. And he, like, has, like, such a vision, and he, like, kills it every time. And then afterwards, like, he's just, like, watching it, and he's just so, like, genuinely happy, and, like, that's what he loves to do. And I don't know, it's been amazing working with him, because it's definitely super inspiring to work with an artist who works, like, that deeply into what they're doing, you know.
Yeah, so your advice would be, don't reach out directly to John Volpine, but that it works.
My advice would be, if someone has a rep, I would go through it. That is not what I did, and it ended up working for me, because we became really good friends. And I'm not just really stoked about, you know, the fact that we got, like, a really good video out of it, or two good videos out of it. I'm just really stoked that, you know, we've become such good friends, and, cause he's honestly, like, just such a great guy. So we're super stoked. And, you know, we work with a couple different photographers and videographers, and, pretty much everyone that we work with, we love. Like, we don't really work with anybody who we don't like anymore. So it's like, everything's always been, like super solid, and it's just like a big family, you know? So yeah, we are, I would not reach out to him directly. But he's obviously was working with, or looking to work with new awesome bands. So, definitely go through his rep if you want to talk to him. and he's fantastic. And you definitely would never regret working with him or anything like that, because he's just so inspiring to even talk to. So
cool. So you have a new EP out.
Yeah, we just dropped In Your Flame and the video, and we're actually shooting a brand new music video right now on this tour that we're on. Right now we're on the Long Live the Flame tour with our friends, The Light Divided. And so we're out shooting a live music video for this run with some like behind the scenes stuff. And it's been super, super awesome as well. We didn't have John come out for this one. We have our friend Jordan from Glamtime Media. He's shooting it, and yeah, it's been awesome. So we're planning some tours around that right now. But we didn't realize that we're trying to plan our tours a little bit smarter, because we are freezing there right now. We thought it would be a little bit warmer, and it is not. So we're trying to plan out our tours a little bit smarter. But yeah, January will be a cold one, but we will be out in support of the new EP. But yeah, we're super stoked on it. I feel like every song, like, we had a really hard time picking the singles for it, just because we're like just so stoked about every song on the EP. I think we're probably going to release a music video for each individual song, and then we'll put out a full record after that. But yeah, it's called Unidentified, and keep an eye out. Anyone can go to our website and get all kinds of updates. You can sign up for our email list, and we shoot out updates about what's going on.
How many songs are on the EP?
It's going to be 5.
Okay. And I saw that you worked with Justin Reimer on that, who it's always mentioned that he worked with 12 Stones and Saving Abel.
He was actually in 12 Stones for I don't even remember how many years. Like 10 years or something. But yeah, he was the guitarist. So he's got all kinds of crazy stories. That guy's crazy as well. But yeah.
Yeah, I know Justin kind of. I mean, I interviewed 12 Stones several years ago, and not Justin, but Justin and I, I'm sure, met at one point, and then I know we're Facebook friends.
Oh, cool. Right on. Yeah, he's awesome. I love him. Like, working with him is, again, just like working with a crazy artist. Like, you know, once he gets into his like vision and in his like mode, he's just like a completely different person. So yeah, Justin's awesome. It's super cool.
Yeah, I do. I see his name a lot on things, so I know that he's doing things and well respected in that field for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely, and anybody who... Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, anybody who knows him knows like how good of a guy he is, and knows like how hard he works. First of all, you know, I've never seen that guy like really take any time off whatsoever. So yeah. But what were you going to say?
Saw you mention some other mutual friends kind of on I'm About to Break. The credits in that mentions Tim and Jenny from Blame Shift.
Yeah.
How do you know them?
Yeah, we actually played a show with them in Houston. And then Tim picked us up as, he's not our manager, but it's more like an advisor. We work with him, and he helps us with a lot of planning stuff and everything. So he's a very, very big help with everything that we do. He's been fantastic to work with. And then Jenny is just awesome as well. She's always promoting whatever she can, and she's just a sweetheart, so we love working with them. They're super cool, and they have their own company, Strong, and they've sponsored a couple of things for us before, and they're just like, they're also super, super hardworking, just like really killer musicians, and you know, always just doing whatever they can to make it happen, whatever they're trying to do, you know. So yeah, we definitely get some inspiration watching them as well, because I'll talk to Tim on the phone. He deals with like so many different bands, like planning things out. And then on top of it, he's got his own band doing really well. And then a company that's doing really well, and like all kinds of different stuff. Like he runs like 4 different companies, like they're all like making like serious moves, you know? And so that just takes up like so much time, but he just somehow manages to like keep his head on straight and like not go crazy. And I don't know how, but so yeah, they're super cool. We love working with them.
Yeah, they're pretty incredible. I did promotions for quite a while, and they were one of the bands that I brought through here and there. And they've stayed at my home and, you know, used my stove and, you know, the whole thing. So I always really admired them because they were very hardworking, and the music industry was never about just music industry. Don't get me wrong, is fun. I will, like, you know, agree to that, but it was never about just the party, which, it's easy to get sucked into that lifestyle being about the party. And they're very serious, about what they have going on and, making their businesses successful, and yeah, great people.
Yeah, they're fantastic. That's super cool that you know them. It's they brought a lot of ties to like 12 Stones and Justin as well. So, that's cool. It's like everybody kind of knows each other after a while. You know, it's like all like intertwined. It's super cool.
Yeah, it is funny how the music industry seems like a small town. Once, you know, you kind of get into it, then everyone seems to know everyone. It's very interconnected.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, you know this person? I know this person. Oh, you know this other person? I know this other person. Like, everyone kind of knows each other. So it's like everyone, like, it's like one big family, you know? It's like people who don't know each other will know each other. And yeah, so that's super cool. So how long have you been interviewing bands and stuff? How long have you been doing promotion?
So I started in like 2011, I think.
Cool.
And I started out with I had like a little promotion company that then grew into writing for a magazine in LA called Screamer Magazine. And
I did
that for quite a while. And during that same time, then my promotion business grew into something much bigger, where I was getting exposed to a lot of industry people and bands and everything because of the music journalism. So then that's when it evolved into booking for some festivals and different clubs. And then I had a business partner for a while where we were doing shows throughout the Midwest, and then just has kind of kept, every year it changes what it looks like. And now it's a podcast. So.
Oh, cool. Right. How do you like podcasts?
I love it. I really do. Like, this is a way for me to send the message I want to. You know, I from working in the industry, I myself saw what was happening with the way women were treated. You know, what happened when I walked into a club and I was a promoter, but when I started having a male business partner, the difference in how I was treated, how he was always spoken to, you know, acknowledged, those types of things. So I saw some of the things that bothered me about the music industry and how hard it was to be acknowledged and for as a woman. And then I watched, you know, some of the just female musicians or just any women that were involved in the industry, how sometimes they were just sexualized in those situations. And that really propelled me forward with my podcast to bring more female voices out and just kind of spotlight the females that are doing things in the industry or the organizations that are doing things to encourage women.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah, that's I mean, that's exactly what we were talking about, you know, like doing things for like a genuine reason and, you know, wanting to like actually like empower like the good things that like the female fronted scene is, you know, like that's amazing. I have a serious respect for people who are doing like what you do, you know, like to try to bring that forward in the spotlight rather than, you know, all the other things that are always put forward in the spotlight, you know, so that's super cool.
Yeah, I think the tides are changing and we're seeing the messaging changing, but it's going to take time. But yeah, I think that, you know, if we have a female musician and a male musician, that they need to be able to present their talent in the same ways, not that the female has to be barely dressed in order for her message to be heard.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell me what kind of tours you have coming up. I'd love to hear about that too.
We actually don't have anything that we can announce right now. We do have, we're working on a lot. I think we have like four different things that are in the works right now, four different full-length tours. But I can't announce any of it. A couple of dates have been like leaked here and there, but we can't really announce anything full. But we do have some big stuff coming up with some bigger bands that we are very, very excited about. So, like, again, if anyone wants to check out what we have, we'll be sending out updates really, really soon. As soon as we have these dates, we'll be releasing a release date. for our album. So if you want to check out any updates that we have, you can go to our website or our Facebook or anything like that. We always send that out first thing. So yeah, but we're super stoked. We pretty much, for 2018, we just want to tour like as much as possible. 2017 was pretty hectic, so we want to kind of keep it that way. If not, like, go a little bit harder, do a little bit more. So yeah, no, we're super stoked. We'll be putting out more music videos, another album, way more tours. So yeah, just keep an eye out.
You just listened to a conversation with the band The Scars Heal in Time. What wonderful ladies that formed that band. You never know the stories you're going to hear when you talk to someone. I'm really glad that Taylor shared with me the story of her father. It's clear he's still with them and still guiding them in who they are today. You made a lie around me. You are listening to In Your Flame by The Scars Heal in Time. I really dig the video behind this song. It's dark and intense, but I often say there can't be light without dark. So some of us appreciate the dark for that very reason. To see that intensity I'm talking about, check out the video for In Your Flame. You can find out more about The Scars Heal in Time at www.thescarshealintime.com and watch the video for In Your Flame. If you like what you just heard and want to spread the message and encourage females in the music industry, please share this podcast with a friend. Rock Talk with Summer is on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. If you'd like to receive cool exclusive extras, head over to www.patreon.com and find Rock Talk Podcast. You can be part of continuing this conversation over on Facebook and Instagram. Find us at Rock Talk Podcast. The intro music for Rock Talk with Summer was created by Jen Eads, artwork by Casey Bridgham. We walk the line.